Hey, it's a challenge to find new metaphors in talking. You think you've heard that before? Well, we'll try to bring it in a different way, okay? This is the feast of Etchmiadzin Haripsimeh. Also, Gor Mkhitaryan stops by the studio for a few minutes with Gor. This is Father Voskin. I'm going to connect the dots. And if you're ready, let's take the next step. Episode number 416.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, how do you do? It's good to have you with us today. I am excited. Yes, we are a few days away. Official countdown has begun to the debut of the Gor Mkhitaryan Passport album. It is the newest project in collaboration with In His Shoes, myself. Excited about that, and even more excited because I just got back from the airport. Had a chance to see Gor Mkhitaryan as he arrived here in the Los Angeles area and getting ready for the concert. He starts a couple days of working with his band and putting things together, and we're looking forward to a fantastic evening Sunday night. In the meantime, I do have a new song for you. We'll be playing a new song off of the Passport album, as well as some comments from the artist himself. Yeah, we had a chance to sit down for a few minutes and talk, and he was very gracious. I know he was tired, but had a chance to talk and share some ideas about, well, this newest album, as well as some ideas about music and general. That's coming up in the second portion of today's show, and as I said, we will also have a preview of the album by playing one of the new songs, World Premiere, right here on The Next Step. Yeah, what do you expect? World Premiere. Also, we're going to be talking a little bit about the feast that's coming up, the Feast of Etchmiadzin, but more in the context of how it matters today. You know, we talk a lot about Etchmiadzin, this place, and it is a place. It is also a descriptor, the word Etchmiadzin itself, a description of an event in history, the descent, it means, of the only begotten. You know, if you tear the word apart, Etch means to descend, Mi means one, only, and Adzin, or the Dzinvads, Dzinel, means to be born. So the descent of the only born, only begotten. Namely Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ descended. And so Etchmiadzin is not just the headquarters of the Armenian Church, it's also a bit of history, but even more, it's a theology, it's a faith. Because when it comes down to it, when you say Etchmiadzin, you're saying the descent of what? Of the only begotten. There's your theology right there too. And this, of course, is a vision, St. Gregory. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that because I want to put it in the context of what we're doing and how things get done. And I think this is an important conversation, especially in the context of Etchmiadzin, because so many times we look at our lives and we say, well, what am I doing? What is this all about? You know, for what am I living? It's obviously the big question that people ask, you know. It's like, why am I here? Where am I going? Why was I here? And what does this all mean? And these very valid and some of the basic questions of life. But at some point you start turning in and you say, well, how about those little things that I'm doing? Those small little things, do they really matter in the big picture? And Etchmiadzin is exactly that story. Let me tell you, I'm always thinking about this because there's such a large amount of work that we're doing, and you're saying at the end of it, what's the purpose? I mean, when you think about, like, I've got 33, 34 years of ministry. We've got In His Shoes. We've got the church, the priesthood, Armadoxy. We talk about the websites. We've got the Next Step. I mean, we've got 9 years of Next Step. And what are we doing? We're talking about changing. Well, strapped for an answer. What are you changing? Are you changing people? Are you changing policies? What would I say that I would want to change? Well, to me, it's changing that metaphor. Changing that metaphor of victim and moving on to victor. That to me is like the bottom line. Can we change metaphors, how we talk, so that to fight fire is not by fire, but by using water? There's a metaphor, right? So if we want peace, it's not by bringing about more wars, but we get peace by bringing about love, by being peaceful. And so I'm always incensed right after April 24th. It's a really difficult time of year for me because it's the one day out of the year that all Armenians feel Armenian. And I've always said that, you know, really, you could listen to this. This is one of my mottos. The hardest thing, the easiest thing is to be Armenian on April 24th. The hardest thing is to be an Armenian on April 25th. And really, April 25th is what defines, is the definition of Armenians, because it's that day after. How do you look at the world the day after? And sure enough, this year on April 25th, we went through this horrific accident. And later on, I was reflecting on that. I go, oh, whoa, what a day to be born, right? If all Armenians are born on that day. But anyway, it kept my mind from wandering to different places. And I was at least focused for a while on just getting better. I still should be, but, you know, my mind does go wandering, like, what's the sense of all this? And sure enough, here it is, like a month later, and I'm reading in the aftermath of April 24th, in the aftermath of commemorating the genocide. I got publication after publication with the old metaphor. And aren't we tired of this? Or am I the only one? I mean, I was reading this article. You know, you read the speeches of people that people gave on April 24th. One lady has written, she gave the speech at the monument. She's written, it's the darkest day in history. Look at what happened. Turks will never change. And it's the same old stories, the same metaphors. Why won't they recognize this? Why won't they look at it? I mean, you know, let's get with the program, folks. You know, they're not going to, I mean, they're not going to do it. There's a lot of politics that are behind all this. Then I look at another flyer. This is from, let's see, who is this? The Armenian General Benevolent Union. They have a youth circle, presents their 2016 conference, Armenian Youth and Higher Education, Challenges and Opportunities, people who are talking. And they've got all these speakers. Well, you know, what's interesting, Armenian youth aren't even invited to these programs. They're not even the speakers. It's just some old people talking about them. But here's what's interesting about it, is that there's no mention of the arts in any of this, you know? The priesthood. For instance, with all these priests, with all these things, and I'm only saying this because Armenians have this great little slogan, we were the first Christian nation. Okay, that's fine. You want to believe that, then how are you going to maintain that first Christian nation if you're not willing to give people to the priesthood, to the institution of the church, which you so love? You go and you light your candles, you go and you make a lot of hoopla about it. Okay, fine. And you have a youth conference, you talk about higher education. I mean, I've seen throughout the years how many of these programs where they get in all these young people and they bring in different people from different branches of government. They applaud them. They bring different people from different walks of life, different educational backgrounds, different jobs, and they say, here's a job fair. Go and talk to these people. learn what it's like. Never once have they taken a priest and stuck him in a booth and said, okay, and there's a priest that you can talk to, because that is a viable job opportunity as well. No, you won't find that because the metaphor isn't there. Now, you know what? In other ethnic communities where there's more reverence, where there's more understanding of the importance of the priest, you will see that. But you don't see that in the Armenians. It's always like this little snicker. Oh, you're going to be a priest? You remember we talked about that last week? We talked about the laugh track. And there's always the laugh track. You're going to be a priest? Exactly! You know, it's like this cute little thing. And it's merely a reflection of the disbelief of the people. People don't believe it. They don't believe that there's anything special about the priesthood, that there's anything special through ordination. We talk about the sacrament, that it's the invisible graces of God upon this person. Nobody believes that stuff. You know it, and I know it. We all know it. And the proof of it is, well, the laugh track that they put on there. Listen, we talked about AGBU. Here's another one. Here's another good one. AGBU is probably, I believe it's the largest Armenian organization financially. And just a couple of weeks ago, I saw in the newspaper, again, when I was recovering in the newspaper, there was like this spread, and it says that this large organization was celebrating its anniversary, and it had, I can't remember the amount, but it was to the tune of about either a third or a half of $1 billion, half of $1 billion in reserves. And do you know how many youth centers AGBU has in Glendale? I guess there's Yerevan, most Armenians, probably Moscow area, and then Southern California. Glendale is really the area. Well, zero. They have zero youth centers. They have zero youth activities, zero youth programs. So what good is that? Rafael Badganyan has a beautiful expression of that, which I've shared with you in the past. But what good is all this money if you're not going to be spending it? So you have it. Big deal. Big deal. And the lists go on. So we need to change metaphors. We need to start thinking beyond victimization and that we are victims. We have to start believing in the power that we do have. And these are things that as a church we have the opportunity to do. This is what's surprising. As a church, this is where we should be. We should be on the forefront. But instead, we are just one of many organizations. And this is where the story of Etchmiadzin comes in. This is how I want to do a tie-in to this, because Etchmiadzin begins, and right now we're right in the middle of the week of celebration of feast. If you happen to be in the town of Etchmiadzin, this is an exciting time of year right now, right? This week is just packed with all kinds of activities, because Monday was the feast day of Saint Hrypsime, Tuesday was the feast day of Saint Gaiane. This Saturday is the feast of St. Gregory, deliverance from the pit of Khorvirab, and Sunday is the feast of Etchmiadzin. Now, this takes place right after Pentecost, right? We celebrated Pentecost a couple weeks ago. So how does this all play in? Well, think about this for a moment. Here is a small, young little girl named Hrypsime, whose just beauty is incredible, and there's a king who wants her. Yes, those devilish kings. He wants her for his own. And she hides out with somebody named Gaiane, who's a mother superior of a convent. She takes her in and allows Hrypsime to exert her will of saying no to the government, to the king. Think about that. It's just a simple no. She says, no, I'm not going to go with you because, first of all, you've got a queen. Yeah. And besides that, says, I'm a Christian. And they're not. Very simple, okay? So the king decides to get her, and when he can't, he has not only her, but has the entire convent, Gaiane and all of them, executed. And back in 1979, yeah, it was about a year after I had left the convent, the monastery, in 1977, 78 I left. So 1979, this happened in the courtyard of St. Hrypsime Monastery. They found the remains of the virgins and they were all decapitated because the king, Durtad, at the 4th century had had them beheaded. Now, they were martyred at that time. And because of that martyrdom, they of course are saints, but because of King Durtad's action, he became gravely sick. And it was at the same time that this St. Gregory the Illuminator had been thrown into this pit called Horvirab, and there he survived for 13 years on prayers and because of the offerings, because of food, small little food that was being brought to him by the king's sister. And so 13 years later, St. Gregory comes out of the pit and cures Durtad, and Durtad understands the power of Christianity and proclaims that as the official religion of Armenia. And hence you get the first Christian nation. Okay, so all this is right now history, right? But what did this all start on? It started on the simple little statement, pronouncement by Hirup Smith saying no to the king. Very small little action that gave big giant consequences, namely the conversion of a people. And this is where we're missing the boat. Because of our insecurity, and we do this, and this goes back to what we were talking about how we start thinking about, is my life purposeful? What am I doing here with my life? Yes, your life is purposeful. Your life does have meanings. And all you need to do is do the right thing. And even when you mess up, you know, this is what Christianity is about. You do mess up. You are a person. You are a human being. Yes, you are going to mess up. You aren't a person that can live perfectly. Okay, so recognize that you are forgiven and move forward. And so you go forward and you realize that you got to do it. The small little steps have big consequences, as with Hirup Smith. I think this is the story of Etchmiadzin. When we talk about Etchmiadzin, and again, coming back to the word Etchmiadzin, the descent of the only begotten, it was St. Gregory the Illuminator who had this vision. He had the vision of the Lord, of Jesus Christ, the only begotten, descending from heaven and with a hammer in his hand, pointing to four different spots and saying, this is where you will build the church of the Armenian people. And from there sprouted the Armenian church, Etchmiadzin, which stands until today as the headquarters of the Armenian church. But it is more than just the building. It is, as Karakin I of blessed memory said, Etchmiadzin is a mission. And I will add to that, not only a mission, but it is a statement of faith, because it requires us to understand that the only begotten is of God, is God incarnate, and therefore it's good. And so there it is, there's the change. I mean, what do you think in his shoes is? In his shoes is that change of metaphor. It begins with the goodness of God, understanding that God has created us, that there is a love that we are capable of, and no matter what happens in the world, we have an obligation, a responsibility to be able to share that love with others. And so it doesn't make any sense for us to go backwards and woe and feel bad about who we are, what we've done. Rather, it's up to us to look forward and saying that this may have happened in the past. I cannot control that. I cannot change the events of the past, but I can make sure that the future is a better deal. And this is what the Christian needs to do. This is what in his shoes is. This is the change of the metaphor. It's understanding that there is a goodness, that we are victors. And that victory is not just about something that's going to happen in the future, but a victory that you can participate in right now. Make sense? I hope so. We're going to take a break right now. I'm going to come back with Gor Mkhitaryan. Hey, yeah, I stopped in at the office today at the studio. I'm recording from Studio Pasadena right now. But earlier we went to Studio Glendale, and there we sat down for a few minutes, shared some ideas, as he is here for a concert. And it is about changing metaphors, even there. the new Passport album. I'll be telling you all about that. Here is a selection. This is the first time ever heard. Okay, anywhere. Yeah, you're getting it. If you're listening in the next step, right now, you're one of the few people in the world of 8 billion people who gets to hear this new song from Gor Mkhitaryan.
Քել մեկ քալ թե լուսնա քայլ մեքենա ես դու թե կարկ կամ սայլ շեպորտ ամբուկ թե հայտնության փող աստանան ես նունը դի կամ նուն բերող պատանի էր հիմա արդեն հասուն հանհաղորդ մի աննասուն ու մանկության կորստի հաշվին դու դարձար մի դատավոր փողոցային Ես դիտորդս ամպերատար, տեսա ինչպես դու կամաց կամաց դարձար հրեշ մի անաստված, դատարկության շեմիրը չոքած Մարդիկ պնդում են թե դարձել ես վանական, քեզ ակշտո օրելով հեռավոր է մենաստան Բայց դու ձերքիդ գիթարու խարազան, երկում ես դու հայոյում լիապերան Պապից ավելի թունդը կաթոլիկ, ֆունդամենտալիստ կամ ընդանը թուրքիստ, նեոֆաշիստ կամ ուսակցական, իսկականը մոլադար Չնադարյան։ Իսկ ես դիտորդս համբերատար, տեսա ինչպես դու կամաց կամաց, դարսա հրեշ մի անաստված, դատարկության շեմինը չոքած։ Իսկ ես դիտորդս համբերատար, տեսա ինչպես դու կամաց կամաց, դարսա հրեշ մի անաստված, դատարկության շեմինը չոքած։ Համբերատար, տեսա ինչպես դու կամաց կամաց, դարձար հրեշ մի անաստված, դատարկության շեմինը չոքած։ Իսկ ես դիտորդս համբերատար, տեսա ինչպես դու կամաց կամաց, դարձար հրեշ մի անաստված, դատարկության շեմինը չոքած։
You heard it first, right here on The Next Step. That is Gor Mkhitaryan off of his newest album called Passport. The name of that song is Observer, with his recommendation. He recommended that that's the one that we put out today. So the last few weeks we've been playing a few of his songs off of this new CD. It is a collection of his latest work dedicated to global awareness, dedicated to things. It's that small voice, just like Ripsma, okay? That small voice that is making some giant changes. Do we believe it? You better believe it. We believe in Ripsma, that small little voice that made a giant change, impacted the world. And so we believe in what we're doing over here. And this is why In His Shoes became the sponsor. It's a collaboration. Gor Mkhitaryan putting out this beautiful work for us to be able to be there, to work together, to get this message out. Now, each of the songs is dedicated to different social issues that are plaguing, well, in particular, Armenia, but basically, they're plaguing the world right now, whether it's the exodus of people, nationalism, immigration issues. I know that's a hotbed item throughout the world. Domestic violence, big issue. Everywhere you look. The role of women, where are women in the world? The other day I was looking at something on Facebook, somebody had questioned, where are the women in the church? And everybody's chiming in and, you know, we're doing that. And well, you know, there's rules and there's regulation. Come on, folks. Come on. I mean, imagine God saying that, half of the population isn't equal to the other half. And we, as human beings, are making up so much of this to justify a God who really is obsolete in those expressions that we talk about. Got to get out of that obsolescence. Got to understand that today in this world, it's about people living in harmony. If you want peace, we've got to work towards peace. You can't be making up stories based on old traditions and things that don't matter. And that's why this is a new language that we're speaking. And that's why we put our backing towards Passport, Gor Mkhitaryan, a talent. Because, you know, when I was a kid, we looked forward to the new music that was coming out. I grew up in the 60s, 70s. You know, there used to be these small little, well, they were the size of CDs, maybe a little bit bigger. They were called 45s. 45, they basically had one song on each side of this disc. And they ran at 45 revolutions per minute on a turntable. And there you put a needle on it. I'm just explaining that. I know some people they've never seen that. I know, if you're listening to me, you've probably seen it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. So the 45s. Well, we used to wait for them. You know, the latest 45 that came out was like just like today, the phenomena with iPhones. People actually wait for the latest iPhone to come out. And they put their names on waiting lists before they come out. Because we have to have it. Well, we did the same things, and it was about music, because these musical tunes talked to us, they spoke to us, they gave meaning, and we'd go there, and we'd listen to the songs, we'd listen to the words. What is he saying? What is John Lennon talking about over here? Why is Eric Burdon talking about the House of the Rising Sun? What is that all about? You know, Bob Dylan, oh, Blowing in the Wind, what is cancer? And I mean, you know, Joni Mitchell, Neil Young, Old Man Sitting by the Side of the Road. I mean, for me, Ian Anderson was this person that I had to inspect every single little nuance of the music, because it just blended in with music and words, and people did that. And I feel like we have that opportunity now with the Gor Mkhitaryan music. It's a new set of words, a new rhythm in an otherwise commercial world. I mean, when you listen to Gor music, it really sets itself apart from most of the usual fare that you have out there. So I'm very, very excited about this new album, and we're looking forward to debuting it this Sunday evening. It's going to be in Pasadena. We have a family, the Magrublian family, very, very nice people, supporters of the In Issues Ministry, who've opened up their house for this opportunity, for this evening. We're going to be debuting it, and then right afterwards, we're going to be able to produce this CD for you to consume. Yes, you'll be able to purchase these, and as Gore is going to tell you in a few minutes, probably in about a month or so, there'll be opportunities to get the MP3s as well. But right now, we do have a new CD. It's called Passport by Gor Mkhitaryan, and I always like that title too, because my wife helped pick the title of that. We were just sitting around coffee one day and came up with that beautiful title. So really excited about this CD. You heard a song from it. You've been hearing a few songs over the last few weeks. Right now, you can hear the artist himself. We stopped in at the studio for a few minutes. Here's a few minutes with Gor Mkhitaryan. Well, I'm really excited today. Gor Mkhitaryan is with me. Just arrived in the Los Angeles scene to be performing in his new Passport album debut. Gor, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. I'm excited to be here and see you guys.
Yeah, is it exciting? We're going to be hearing your new music. I think the new music, I had a chance to listen to it in the ride over, and it sounds fantastic. A breath of fresh air.
You know, I am very proud of this album. It took like 2.5 years, as you might know already. Mm. And a lot of work, a lot of people were involved in this project, and I'm excited to present this Sunday. It's, you know, It's a good album.
This is, I believe, your eighth album in your career?
This is my eighth album, yes.
Yes, and yes. How does it differ from some of the other older stuff, older Gore?
Well, the very old Gore is kind of like, I started as like an acoustic act, mm-hmm. like acoustic guitar and a banjo, like two acoustic instruments, and they slowly evolved.
Mm-hmm.
In this album, I have all kinds of instruments, a lot of fresh musicians, some of my old, you know, bandmates, and but what makes it different is the issue. I mean, the topics that I'm touching in this album, mainly like social issues, as well.
That's what I think is really unique about this particular album. You're really addressing a wide variety of issues that people might be scared, or even we call controversial, right?
Definitely. I mean, those are issues that we are facing right now in Armenia,
mm-hmm.
Like poverty, immigration, you know, domestic violence, environment, all these issues are in this album, pretty much. There's like, it's 10 songs album, and every song has a meaning, addressing like a different, like specific topic.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, like there's a song about immigration, there's a song about domestic violence, poverty, and you name it.
Immigration, we had a chance to, on the ride, to the studio today, we had a chance to talk a little bit about the immigration issues. Like, and it was, if you could share with our listeners that whole idea about making excuses, so to speak. And I love the lyrics in there. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I mean, when we say immigration, we mean like people going from Armenia, trying to find like jobs, and because of the tough economic situation in Armenia, right? But there's a song in the album that is sort of the opposite. What I felt like a couple of years ago, I really wanted to go back to Armenia, and
mm-hmm.
as well as a lot of people that I know among my friends. But something is holding them up. Some of these guys, they really want to go, but they're telling me that, you know, we want to go back only when we have a lot of money, for instance. So I'm sort of talking about this.
Sort of like conditions to go.
Yeah, back. Yeah, exactly. Like you have to have this condition in order to be able to go back to the motherland, fatherland. I mean, so because there is a group of people, not group of people. It's kind of, it's like a large army almost. That they went back to Armenia a couple of years ago, and that was very impressive. Mm-hmm. I talked to these people and they felt like really good. They feel super happy living in Armenia, and they were trying to convince their family, their friends, and anybody that they know to move back.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like that's another issue. These people, as you mentioned, they do need condition.
Mm-hmm.
They you know, they want to get rich, or they want to get, they want to have enough money, I guess, to feel secure when they go back to Armenia. Mm-hmm. And there's like two different issues about immigration. Mm-hmm. There's like one side, the one side is that, you know, they're trying to, you know, go out of Armenia and find a job, improve their, you know, like conditions. Like, this is like one main problem that we are facing right now in Armenia.
Mm-hmm.
So, and instead of, you know, fighting the problems, instead of trying to make a change, and I don't blame them, I mean, it's really tough to do it in Armenia, they find a simple solution, which is just simply leave the country.
Mm.
So we know this. This is happening in the past 20 years, 25 mm-hmm. years, I want to say. And there's the other side, which is like the new immigrants, or like the second, third generation established sort of Armenians who are already established in the, you know, in diaspora, and they're able to go back, but they don't really feel like going back because they're like, oh, you know, there's so much corruption there, we cannot really see ourselves living there if it's going to be just like this. So those are some of the issues that I try to bring in this song called Immigrant.
So. I see. Immigration, or some of these, you know, arguably there's people on both sides of the fence. But when you come to domestic violence, I think everybody will agree with you. They should. Any normal person, anybody of civilized character will agree that this is unacceptable in a day and age like today. But you make a very good point in that the song about domestic violence, about the queens, about them being queens. Can you share with our listeners those lyrics? I found those to be very fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, domestic violence is a big issue in Armenia. Mm-hmm. It's been a big issue, and it is still remains as a big issue. Because we Armenian men in Armenia, I'm generalizing, of course, but usually we don't look at the women as equal partners, mm-hmm. or our, like, you know, friends or somebody who has, like, equal rights. We just take them as, like, a domestic animals, or almost like pets or whatever. They have to cook, they have to be in service, and that's about it. But in this song, it's sort of based on my experience when I went back to Armenia a couple of years ago, and recently I was there in November. I saw a lot of strong women without a husband. They're taking care of themselves. They're working hard. They're keeping their family, their children, and they are making change. And I got inspired. And I saw this. I mean, this is kind of like a minority. It's not like viral or whatever. But my message is, in this song, I'm like, I'm trying to tell the women that you can make a change.
Gor, I want to talk a little bit about music in general. I mean, you come from quite a rich background of music, and you've experimented with a lot of different types of music instruments. Where do you find yourself right now? Where are you in the music world? How's music in the world right now? Tell me a little bit about that.
I like music a lot.
I hope so.
And I enjoy a lot of genres. But the genre that I play, sometimes I feel like it's sort of outdated, or like from the other, it's sure enough, it's from 20th century, definitely, because nowadays people are listening to different music, especially mm-hmm. like the new guys, the new generation. For instance, I met this young boy, 14 years old guy, and I asked him, like, what do you listen to? Where do you get your music from? He said, hey, I listen to hip hop, R&B. And I get my music from YouTube, not even from iTunes, or just YouTube, and from some streaming, you know, services. And they don't listen to the music that we play and we enjoy, at least like that age group, I think. Mm-hmm. And that makes me sort of sad, because this music is, I think, is still valuable, the one that we play, using like live instruments, like guitars and if we're talking about music, of course, mm-hmm. and we try to put some meaning behind the lyrics, of course. But whatever I can hear now on the radio, on the mainstream, you know, kind of outlets, it's all about violence, it's all about sex, it's all about like meaningless stuff. Mm-hmm. And the music is not there. I mean, synthesized instruments, synthesized music, samples, loops, and boring to me, very.
Synthesized music, that's interesting that you say it, because I listened to your Passport, and you have quite a bit of, you have brass sections, you mean none of that is synthesized, is no, that all?
It's all live.
All live.
Wow. Yes, brass instruments, banjo, of course. I sort of went back to my roots in a using a banjo, drums, bass, a lot of like cool instruments, like harmonica, melodica. What else do I have? Like,
So Passport is really basically a passport to reality, right?
Reality, and I use like two even like traditional Armenian instruments, like zurna and balul.
Wow!
In two songs, so I mix like this Armenian instrument, you know, traditional instruments into this Western sort of format.
Gor, this Sunday is the debut of the Passport album. And then what happens after Sunday? Can our listeners pick it up? Is it going to be available for downloads? And
For now, it's going to be available only in the CD format, mm-hmm. at least in this in this concert Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's going to be available on iTunes and other digital outlets within a few weeks or a month.
Oh, great.
So, yeah, definitely we're going to be there. But for now, it's going to be only on CD.
Because I know that people are going to want to get this as quick as they can.
Definitely. Yeah. Eventually, it's going to happen. But this time, we kind of try to change the strategy to take this music to the listener. Mm-hmm. So, from the beginning, it's going to be on the CD. Okay. Very outdated sort of old format nowadays in digital world, but you know, people still listen to CDs, and it's tangible, and sure enough, I can promise we're going to be signing the CDs.
All right.
They're going to take the piece of the memory with them, definitely, and yeah, at some point they're going to have it in digital format too.
All right, fantastic. Well, I wish you all the best. Thank you for being part of our lives over here. I know In His Shoes Ministries and Gore, we go back about 9 years right now, I think, to the time.
Yeah, 9 years. And definitely, I know you're doing a fantastic job with this podcast. And your listeners should be informed about your role in this project, because you are the executive producer and the inspiration in so many, like... songs and all the projects that I've been doing in these years, and I want to say thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Gord. That's big very, very I appreciate that very much, and appreciate all you do, and wish you only the best. Congratulations on number 8, and
definitely.
We'll look
thank
forward
you.
To thank much, you. Much more. But this Sunday, we're all going to be excited to be huddled around you and listening to some great music.
It's going to be a fun Sunday with barbecue and live music, and just hanging out with friends and just enjoying the passport.
Well, thank you for stopping by. Good
thank
luck.
You. Thanks.
I hope that whets your appetite for what's about to be unveiled. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area and want to come down to it, we could get you in. All you need to do is mention that you are a Next Step listener. And you can still go on the website, and when you purchase the ticket, just mention that you heard it on Next Step, and we will get you in. Otherwise, it's a pretty sold-out event. Okay, there's still a few tickets we could get out there for you. But if you come in, you're in for a great show. It's going to be a great evening. That is this Sunday evening, May 29th, in Pasadena, California, the unveiling and the debut of Gor Mkhitaryan's Passport album, the 8th in a collection of beautiful music put out by the artist. I'm going to take a break right now. Let Susie make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, and thank you to all of you who support this podcast. Through your prayers, your donations, your kind words, your gestures, they go a long way in providing the energy that you need, you know? It's like I was thinking about that. You know, Gor Mkhitaryan, the artist, he gets up on a stage. He gets a new energy. Why? Because there's people out there that he is addressing. He's talking. It's the same thing when I sit in front of this microphone and I go out there. I picture each of you, the kind words that you've shared with me throughout the years, the kind expressions that you have. They go a long way to give me the support, the energy, as well as our entire crew, whether it's Susie, who produces all of these, Ken, our engineer, as quiet as he is over there in the corner, he's just a genius when it comes down to putting it all together, right? mixes it, and there's a nice flow and a harmony. But it all comes down to people supporting it and wanting it. I've been hinting around for the last few weeks that we do need to take a new format to the next step, and I hope to be moving into that format for year number 9. It's coming up in a few weeks. We are going to be celebrating the beginning of our 9th year of podcasting. Do you realize every week for the past 9 years, every week like clockwork, put out a next step? And so when we thank you, we're asking you to be a partner in this, but also to participate in the celebration. This is all about the work that we're doing together. And I sincerely mean it when I say that the weeks go by as I celebrate the Divine Liturgy, as in my personal prayers, I remember you, the beautiful words that you share with me. Please remember our entire staff, our entire crew, everybody at In His Shoes, all the work that we do, and be supportive of it with your prayers, with your donations. I want to give you a hint. Next year, it'll be 2017. God gives us life. We're hoping on July 7th. It'll be 7/7/17. Exactly 10 years ago, we started the campaign for forgiveness on 7/7/7. It'll be 7/7/17. And so 10 years later, we will be having a conference. I'm letting you know right now. I want you to put it on your calendar, okay? And thank God you have technology now. You can have a calendar that you could put it on, and it'll give you an alarm that you could have it alarm you 2 months, 3 months beforehand, 2 minutes beforehand. Anyway, 7/7/17. It's a Friday. We're going to get together. I would love it if we can show the world that forgiveness is a new metaphor. And it's a different metaphor. Let's say it like that. It's an old metaphor that was given to us by Jesus Christ. And here we are implementing it. More to come, of course. That's over a year away, but it comes by fast. So I'm letting you know as next step, listeners. Hey, that brings us to the end of today's show. I want to thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed putting it together for you. I hope I'll see many of you at the Gore concert this Sunday evening. If not, please drop me an email, feedback@epostle.net. Connect with us on Facebook. You know, the routine, right? InHisShoes.org, epostle.net, just all the different places that you can pick up our signals and our broadcasts. And of course, Sunday mornings, we are at the Youth Ministry Center, St. Peter in Glendale, California. Would love to see you there as well. And I want to thank you for joining us today. On behalf of our producer, Susie, on behalf of Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your broadcast out.